I'm Jeanette Kong, a content and programming producer with TVO.org. The following is a phone interview with Simone Chichester, producer, director, and writer of the documentary Chichester's Choice. It was recorded on December 4th, 2007. Hello, Simone. Congrats.
Hi.
Thanks for speaking to us. I'm going to get started with my first question. Your film is about finding your estranged father, whom you hadn't seen in 23 years. Mm. And now the film has been out, and it's been screened at festivals, and we're showing it on TVO. Mm. How has it been a cathartic experience for you?
Absolutely. I think filmmaking in general, even if it's not going to be a personal story, would actually be somewhat cathartic in some ways. You always find there's a reason why you're telling a story, and so generally, you know, there's something at risk there, and there's something very personal attached to it, and so it's always cathartic, storytelling, that is. But certainly in my case, it's heightened, and I'm completely aware of that. You never know how it's going to go. And I knew and I was ready for closure around the relationship with my father, and I was ready for things to change, having been estranged from him for so long. And so I took it on, not knowing what it was going to be like, but it certainly has been, many things for me, and cathartic, yeah, is one of them.
Okay. And there are so many ways that you could have treated your story with your father. Mm. You could have written a book or made it into sort of a fictional film.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of my family members, including my mom, would have preferred that.
Right. So how did you make the choice to make it into a documentary?
Well, initially it did actually start out as, because, you know, the situation with my father was, we've gotten a call from the Foreign Affairs, and he had tuberculosis. It was initially brought to my attention, and then I was talking to some friends, and they had suggested that I make a film, a fictional film, like write out my story, because they were always so amazed at where I came from and my history, mm-hmm. with regards to my parents, and that I've been able to survive that circumstance, not having a father and knowing that he was on the streets. So I did toy with the idea of writing a fictional piece, and I actually, in my research, my first bits of research around the documentary, it was kind of for the purpose of putting a story together. And then as I started to research it and talk to family members, I felt like the actual reality of it was far more compelling. And I knew that I wanted to go and meet my father, and I thought, wow, like when that happens, that's going to be quite a moment. And I think it'll be a beautiful story. And so I never thought I would be a documentary filmmaker, but once I made the decision to do that, it kind of felt like it just eased into that, and it was really the right direction to go in.
Right, obviously, because it's such a success and as a film.
Yeah, and, well, thank you.
And the subject matter is so personal and so close to you, obviously. It's your mother and your father and yourself. Mm-hmm. How did you draw the line as to what you would or would not discuss? What were the things that, you had to consider?
I didn't draw that line. That was definitely a decision of mine, is that once I decided I was going to document my journey and I was going to be in front of the camera and work very closely with a DP, one of the things I committed myself to was not to edit myself, and to really go for it, because in reality, if you come back with something that you feel like is too much, then you can take care of it and say, okay, well, maybe this isn't appropriate and we won't show it, in the editing room. But in trying to retrieve the material and go after the story, I knew that I needed to not edit myself, especially if I wanted to create a space for the people that I was talking to, the subject, the other characters in the film. As a filmmaker, the only way to create that space is to actually be vulnerable yourself. Whether you're in front of the camera or not, I feel like, as a filmmaker, you need to be vulnerable in order to expect that from others. And so there was absolutely no line. Nothing was inappropriate to discuss because it existed. And so if it existed, it warranted a discussion,
But at the same time, I think you filmed something like 80 hours of footage.
Right.
And obviously, you know, the film isn't 80 hours. So how do you choose what to include in the doc and what to leave out?
Well, you have to decide what the main focus of your story is. And, you know, a lot of that is helped and assisted with, you know, your mentors and the other people that work on the film. I had a really great editor, and yes, there was 80 hours of footage, and in the pursuit of what I was trying to find, that be my father, there was a lot of footage that was taken, but in the end of it, in order to keep it, it was all for story matter. It wasn't necessarily because I felt like the footage was inappropriate or I was afraid to share it. It was more so that the focus of the story would be there and that, you know, as an audience, people would, you know, understand the story being told. So you kind of have to get rid of things. And you don't want to make a four-hour movie, you know. And some things and circumstances are repeated, some story points, in a way, are repeated in various scenes, and so you don't need to show that again, you know. It's just a different way of saying something. So you just, it's all for story at the end of the day.
Right. Okay. And in the film, I don't want to give away too much, but you discovered a really disturbing rumor in your father's family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some ambiguity in the documentary, I think, that he may or may not have done what was the rumor. Did you sort of deliberately keep it ambiguous?
I deliberately kept it ambiguous because the way in which the footage was retrieved was ambiguous. Like, there was no closure in the journey aspect of the film behind the scenes, so I didn't feel like I should address it in my narrative at all, like in the narrative of, you know, because I wrote my narrative, right, for the film. So there was some discussions and posts around how I wanted to address it, and I said, well, I don't want to address it. You know, this is something for the audience to come to terms with in the same way that I came to terms with it. And I wasn't prepared to say something that I couldn't confirm one way or the other.
Okay.
So, it really was in respect of how the journey went. You know, the journey went a certain way, and so the film should be told in the same manner.
Okay. And did you learn the truth for yourself or sort of after the fact, after the film?
Not any more than what you saw. Not any more than what you saw. And so what I believe, I guess, it has changed every now and then, but I think, without ruining it for some of the people that haven't seen it, I'll say that I think, you know, I certainly believe my mother, and I think everybody, and in some ways I believe my uncles, but I don't necessarily believe that story was true. I think that somewhere along the line, unfortunately, it was a situation of broken telephone, possibly. You know, where stories get told and they're not correct. But at the end of the day, the relationship that I had with my father, in my opinion, was a great one and was strengthened after this film. So I don't know that what was said is possible.
Okay, and that leads me to my next point, my next question. In the film, we see the reunion between you and your father in Brazil, and what was his reaction to you making a documentary about his life, sort of more than what we saw in the film? I mean, we saw the actual moment, but what, I mean, you obviously spent time with him,
yeah.
So what was his reaction?
Well, one of the parts that didn't make it to the film was when I did ask him what he thought about me making a documentary. And his whole thing was, well, what are you doing it for? And I said, well, I'm trying to discover who you are and why this has happened to your life. And his response was, nobody knows. Nobody knows what will happen to them tomorrow. You know, I never believed this would happen to me, which is one line that did make it into the film. I never believed this would happen to me. We didn't have too much dialogue. I mean, I told him initially when I met him, which is in the film, why I was doing it, and we hugged and we cried over it. And, you know, I found it kind of weird sometimes that my dad wasn't really asking much more questions around why I was doing this doc. But at the same time, my dad came from a past of, you know, he was a performer, he was into photography, he was into the art. He had a love of film, which I talk about in the film. He had dreamt of being an actor at times in his life. And so my conclusion that I made was that he got the sensibilities around telling a story in this way. He understood that. And so I think why we didn't have the conversation was because it was just something he got himself. He understood. And, you know, there were a couple times where I whipped out my camera in front of him and he would ask me what the shutter speed was. Mm-hmm. I think that it was just an understood love of this type of storytelling. And he participated pretty freely. I mean, when it came time, you got to sign your releases with everybody. And when it came time for him to do that, there was really no questions around it.
Okay.
He knew that I was trying to tell the story. And maybe there was a bit of him that felt that he owed me. I'm not quite sure around that, having left me at such a young age. And, you know, maybe he wanted to make it up to me in that way.
Okay. And your mom was obviously supportive of you. But you had mentioned earlier that she's one of the people who perhaps thought that it would have been better as a fictional story.
Right.
What were her reservations?
Just being in front of the camera, you know, and having people know about her life. And a lot of the footage that we did, you know, shoot, there was a lot more in-depth stuff on her as well that didn't make it into the film.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I needed to ask those questions, you know. And so I think she was just reserved around all of it, you know. She said, I'm not a public figure. I don't really want to do this, but I'll do it for you. And in retrospect, I can assure you now, having seen the film and she's attended some festival screenings, I know that she's really proud, and I know
mm-hmm.
that she thinks it's a great film. And I know that she understands my need to have done it and the way, you know, that this is the way I like to tell stories. And again, it's not her way, but she participated in it because she is my mom. And as you could see from her coming on this journey with me, she would do anything. You know, I think mothers do anything for their kids. What it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened after you left your father in Brazil?
Well, a little bit of an update. My dad did move in temporarily with a family that he had befriended there, who took him in the hopes of trying to clean him up as well. And I talked to him maybe twice or three times after that on the phone
mm-hmm.
from that location where he was at. And he was unhappy. He was unhappy living there. He was unhappy living apparently under their rules. He didn't stay with them very long and returned to the streets. And as we heard it from other people, returned to the streets and back and forth between shelters. And his tuberculosis resurfaced, and he was really sick and drinking again. So, you know, over the years, I know that my dad had opportunities to kind of live with people and possibly change his life. But I think when you've been that removed from a lifestyle that we know a lifestyle to be, and living in kind of like a structure of society, it's really, really hard for somebody like my father to come back to that. And for whatever reasons, he didn't really like staying with that family. And we lost contact again just because he was not situated anywhere where I could reach him for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't, it was kind of an ending that I know I knew would come in some way.
Mm-hmm. And what about your mother? Did the experience change your relationship to your mom?
Yeah, we have we have a really fun relationship. We can be more like sisters, and other times, like you saw in the film, it can be really, we can irritate each other, and it can be tumultuous at times. But for me, how it's changed my perspective of my mother is just to understand that she would do anything for me, and I got to see sides of her in the film as a result that were, you know, really amazing for me to understand. And it also changed my perspective just because I took some time to get to know my father. And as a result, I had a loving and accepting relationship with him because of the depths that I went through in the film to kind of discover who he was. So having said that, I know that there's very much, you know, all our parents have stories, and I'd wish for most people to get to know their parents in the way that I got to know my father, if that makes any sense, just because it allowed me to go to a place where I really saw and understood that a lot of the choices that he made were, didn't affect how he loved me. And our parents, they have limitations, too. They're just, you know, other people, and sometimes people have limitations, and sometimes those people are our parents. So it allowed me to kind of understand all those things about my father and my mom.
No, that's great. And I know that viewers will want to know about your father's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
In the film, they weren't sort of portrayed in the best light. And,
mm-hmm.
and so what's been their reaction to the documentary?
Well, you know, some of the family members that he has do live in Canada, the extended family, so they came out to the festival screening. And I don't actually feel that they weren't portrayed in the best light. I think that they were portrayed in a circumstance, from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually there were no actual bad and good people in my film. We were all just very flawed,
mm-hmm.
which I like about my film. And, you know, they come from a situation, the ones in Guyana that I spoke to, where, you know, there's limitations there. There's poverty, you know, so I don't necessarily feel like for that reason that they're not portrayed in the best light. And they also come from a family that we talked about in the film having been somewhat dysfunctional and abusive
mm-hmm.
to each other from the parents' side. So, and there is one point in the film where my uncle explains, when that's all that you know, that's all that you do, kind of thing. And so the family that has come to see it in Toronto here seem to kind of understand that. I mean, you know, there's stuff in that side of the family and all our families that, you know, we're not happy with, that we wish were addressed differently. And for the most part, what I'm hearing from people is that it's good that I was talking about it. I'm sure it's hard for some of them, as it is for me. And, you know, I try to tell a story with the best of intentions and from a place of integrity. And I think I did that. And sometimes what you're saying is not always happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just wanted to, your father passed away in February 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has the film given you in terms of your relationship to him?
Lots. Because, as you said, he passed away in 2005. So he was going to pass away anyways. Can you imagine if I didn't do the film and got the same call that I did one day on February 11th that told me he was gone? My reality would have been a lot different had I not done this film. I would have not had the answers around knowing how my father loved me. I would have been probably very angry with myself and him. The film allowed me to understand a lot about him, especially having gone to Guyana and getting to know some of his past. The film allowed me to reunite with him as a woman and show him who I was, and I'm sure in many ways put his mind to rest. Because, you know, I turned out pretty okay, and I'm doing okay, and I'm sure that that was a lot of stress for him. And the film allowed me to have a relationship with him, and, you know, as different as it is from most father-daughter relationships out there, it is a relationship. And just because I never really talked to him after that, outside of a couple of phone calls, and just because we lost touch again, it didn't feel the same. It always felt like my dad is, and it feels like this today, he's in my front pocket and my side pocket. He's always with me, you know, because relationships, you don't need to be in a certain amount of contact for them to exist and thrive. And I think that we accomplished that together, having reunited with one another. And I hope that he died in a peaceful manner, knowing that he had seen me again and we had reconnected.
Okay. Well, and what was the most difficult for you to contend with out of the whole sort of experience that you've been going through, you know, from the making of the film to up until now?
Well, there's different things. I mean, from the filmmaking perspective, there's there's just trying to get a film out and how much work it takes and how stressful it can be and the financial limitations and the resources and meeting the right people. And then from the personal aspect of it is, you know, I've shown this film at a few festivals. It's very rare that I go and show this film and I don't have very, very strong reactions from people. Some people coming to me after screening and crying and sharing their stories. And sometimes other people are mad that I made the choices that I did in my film. So contending with it, I just sometimes I feel like I wish I could have done more personally for my father. I wish that the circumstances were different. And then, you know, and then sometimes I feel okay about how things went, and I know that it was the way it was, and it just, it was, it, I don't think it could have gone any other way without my dad participating a little bit more. And then with regards to how other people react, I'm always just so amazed at how it invites other people's stories. And, you know, we talked about it being such a personal film, and it's such a personal film, yet it's so, I believe, universal. And I'm not sure if the more personal somebody goes as a filmmaker, the more universal it becomes to somebody else, but it just leaves room when something is that personal for other people to feel comfortable talking about their stories. And trust me, there's so many stories that come out from that I've seen and heard from my film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just moving with the life of that, you know, and open to where it takes me in that way.
Okay. And my last question, what's been the most rewarding for you?
Well, that aspect of it is what's been the most rewarding for me is the aspect of how people share and how it invites other people's personal stories. What's been rewarding for me on a personal level as a filmmaker is knowing that I had a sense of what was an important story to tell and that I have other stories to tell. And I feel very proud when I see my film screen at a festival because I did everything to get it there. And then it finds a place. It finds a home. But definitely the conversations. I just got back from Whistler Film Festival and was talking to people, and I can't even tell you their name. We didn't even exchange names, but we exchanged stories. And I had, you know, a woman telling me about being adopted from her father, you know, and finding her birth father, and she was in tears by the time, you know, she'd finished her story and telling me how she's spending Christmas with him this year. You know, like, I just feel so privileged to hear those stories, and it's because I told my story, and so I just think that those moments are so profound and so amazing. And like I said, I don't know her name. We didn't feel the need to necessarily exchange names. We just exchanged stories, and that's the best part about putting a film like this out there.
Well, thanks for doing so. Thanks very much, Simone.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.